Peter, run up to Mount Sinai, cut down a cedar tree, bring it down here. John, run into Bethlehem right now and get some lights. James, listen, go shopping. I want you to go to the mall in Bethlehem. Pick up as many gifts as you can. Bring them all back. We're going to have a party. I think there are some Americans that believe that.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello, and welcome to this special Christmas holiday broadcast. Well, with Christmas just 2 days away, we've gone back into our archives to bring you a message from Pastor Bill that puts Christmas into proper perspective. So now, Pastor Bill with today's message, The True Meaning of Christmas.
Turn this morning in your Bibles for our Christmas sermon, and no, it's not going to be from the Gospels as usual. I want you to go toward the end of the Bible in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, as I would like to talk to you this morning about the true meaning of Christmas. And let me read a few verses, and then I'm going to talk to you a little bit. In about 30 minutes, I'll get into this text. How's that? We're in 1 John this morning, chapter 4, starting in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world. Why? That we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. And the church says, amen. You can't wait to get out to the mall and do that last minute shopping and the traffic jams and the strain and all of that. I hope that's not what you're going to be doing, but some of you probably will be. But you know, as I know, that type of stress takes away all the joy of the holiday season. And it also takes away the true meaning of Christmas. Out there, you know, the shopping and the trees and the ornaments and all of that. Now, you know that Christmas is not about a tree. It's not about ornaments and mistletoe. And you know, it's not about giving of presents. And it's like this 1 7-year-old boy said here about Christmas. He said, love is what's in the room with you at Christmas if you stop opening presents and listen. Now, that's from the lips of a babe, a 7-year-old boy. Betsy Taylor puts it this way. She says, the image about the holidays is renewal and joy. Amen. I like that. But then there's a comma. And she says, but the reality for most Americans, and may I add most American Christians, is debt and exhaustion, waking up on December 26th kind of empty and wondering if that is all there is. That reminds me of a story of four Texas brothers. They got together and they all left home and graduated from college and they became successful doctors and lawyers. And it says here in the story that I'm reading, it says some years later they were around the Christmas table together having dinner and they started talking about their mother. And it says they discussed the gifts that they were able to give to their elderly mother who lived far away in another city. The first brother said, well, you know, for Christmas I had a big house built for Mama. And the second one said, well, you know, I had a $100,000 theater built in that house for Mama. And the third one said, well, I had a Mercedes dealer deliver to her an SL600. And the fourth brother said, well, listen to this. Here's what I got Mama for Christmas. You know how Mama loved reading her Bible, and you know she can't read it anymore because she can't see very well. Well, I met this priest who told me about a parrot that can recite the entire Bible. It took 20 priests 12 years to teach this parrot the entire Bible. Well, I had to pledge and contribute $100,000 a year for 20 years to the church, but it was worth it because all Mama has to do now is name the chapter and the verse, and that parrot will recite it to her. Well, the other brothers, it says, were quite impressed. After the holidays, Mom sent out her thank you notes and she wrote to Milton. She said, Milton, thank you so much for the huge house you've built me, but you know I can only live in one room and I have to clean the whole thing, but thank you anyway. Marvin said, well, you know, Marvin, thank you so much for that Mercedes, but you know, I'm too old to travel and I stay at home and I have my groceries delivered, but and I never use a Mercedes, but thank you anyway. Michael, you gave me that expensive theater with Dolby sound. It could hold 50 people, but all my friends are dead. I've lost my hearing and I'm nearly blind, but thank you, but I'll never use it. Dearest Melvin, you were the only son that had the good sense to give me a little thought about your gift. The chicken was delicious. Thank you. May I tell you? Let me tell you something. Christmas is not about giving gifts. It's about Jesus. It's about the Son of God. It's about our Lord and Savior who came to a dark, dark world to save you and I. And we need to remember the true meaning of Christmas, because it's not about shopping till we drop, and it's not about those little chia pets that you're going to buy. That's not what it's about this morning. My Bible says the true meaning of Christmas is found in Luke 2:7, and it says, and she brought forth, meaning Mary, her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. May I say to you this morning, Christians, that there really isn't much room for Jesus in some churches, and there really isn't room for Jesus in this world, as it was 2,000 years ago. It says in Luke 2:8, now there was the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over the flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Isn't it interesting? After 400 years of silence from Malachi to Matthew, God speaks, and the first word from heaven is this to man, don't be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. Because see, when Christ was born, the entire world was huddled in darkness. They didn't know whether they should go to the right or to the left. They were living in fear and constant oppression, even by the Roman Empire at the time of the birth of Christ. Don't be afraid, he said. He said, I bring you good tidings. I have something great to tell you. And they say this, for there is born to you this day in the city of David, that's Bethlehem, a Savior who is Muhammad. No. A Savior who is Buddha. No. A Savior who is humanism. No. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. The word Savior means a rescuer. Someone who comes down to rescue you out of the destruction and the dilemma that we're in. The meaning of Christmas is not to sit there and say, I didn't get that Lexus. You've seen the commercials where the keys and the ribbon is tied from the bedroom down to the garage and the wife follows it. That's happening at my home. That's not it. Christmas is not about that. Nothing wrong with that, but that's not about Christmas. Let me ask you a question. Whose birthday is it? Well, what have you given him? You bought for everybody on your list. What have you given Christ? Were you with him this morning in prayer? Now, Bill, don't start that. I could have gone to the church across the street. He was preaching on hell. Christmas. It means that God sent to you and me what we needed. I needed to be rescued. I needed to be delivered. I needed to be saved. I needed to be transformed. I needed to become a new creation in Christ. I needed someone to come and take all of my filth and my shame and my sin and cover it, and I didn't know how to get it done. Man didn't know how to achieve it. The sacrifice of bull and goats, God wasn't pleased with that. They can't take away sin. So Jesus came. He came for you. He came to rescue you, rescue me, to rescue all of the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what Christmas is all about. When you gather around your tree, listen, it's not about that. And I know you know that. But why don't you make that an altar? Before one package is opened, before you sit down to one meal, you honor God by saying, I don't know the day you were born on this earth, that you became man, the God-man. But right now, I give honor to you. My family gives honor to you. Because, Lord, we know that this tree, these ornaments, these lights have nothing to do with you. Listen, I don't want to shock you. But you know what? Jesus didn't come up to his disciples one day and go, hey, fellas, come here, I want to talk to you. What is it? What is it, Lord? What is it, Master? He says, well, today's a special day. What is it? It's my birthday. Peter, run up to Mount Sinai, cut down a sycamore or a cedar tree, bring it down here. John, run into Bethlehem right now and get some lights. James, listen, go shopping. I want you to go to the mall in Bethlehem. Pick up as many gifts as you can. Bring them all back. We're going to have a party. I think there are some Americans that believe that. No, that's not Christmas. No, Jesus didn't tell them to do that either. You know what Christmas is? Besides God rescuing us, do you know why God did rescue us? Look there in 1 John. It says it, 1 John 4, verse 8. Look at the very end of it. It makes a statement. It says this. Look at the last three words in verse 8 of chapter 4 of 1 John. God is love. That's why He loved us. Now, you know what's amazing is that God doesn't have to learn to love. See, God is love. We learn to love people. Matter of fact, you might be sitting across and somebody say, I didn't want to sit next to him. I pray that's not the case. I was pointing this way. I wonder if that was led by the Spirit, huh? Listen, we're still in the flesh. Yes, I know our flesh is dead. I understand that. We've reckoned it dead. But would you say that the old man still tries to live? And, you know, we judge, you know, and we have, you know, we, you know. Listen, God doesn't learn to love, and He loves us, and it's without any effort. And I'm going to shock you now, because God doesn't love you because you're lovely. And He doesn't love you because you're lovable. He loves you because He has chosen to love you. You know, there's a lot of people that don't like pastors, but God does. You know what's amazing? That God's love never changes. That I'm always shocked by that. Even after all of these years as a Christian, I am still shocked by the love of God. It's still so unbelievable, because here's what that means. I mean, God doesn't love me any more right now than He did before I was saved. He loved me the same when I was trafficking and walking in darkness and in sin as He does right now. Why? Because God is love. And I start thinking about all of the horrible places before I became a Christian that I drug the Lord into. All of those filthy things that I did. I know you didn't do anything wrong. So I'm talking about me. He never left us. In the middle of every lie that we told, every time we took His name in vain, every commandment of the Ten Commandments that we broke, every time lust came from your heart, looking upon another man or looking upon another woman, or coveting after money or this or that, or having things higher than God in your life, saying, I love this more than I love anything, and you did not want God or even have anything to do with God. God loved you then. He loved me then. He did not approve of our sin. No, no. But His love toward man has never changed. Now that's the meaning of Christmas, folks. It's unbelievable. There has never been one second that God has not been in love with you. It has never gone up a degree or down a degree. That is unbelievable. Yet, that is the Bible. It says in this, in verse 9, in this the love of God was manifested. And who was it manifested toward? Watch this. Toward us. We were the recipients of His love. Now, that word manifested means to expose. It means to bring out into the light. It means to make public. How did God make His love public? Well, we call it Christmas. But what He did, He made His love visible. How? By speaking a word, overshadowing a little 16, 17-year-old virgin girl named Mary, and letting her conceive the God-man, Jesus. And then all of a sudden, God was made visible in this planet. And there He was, born in a feed trough, in a manger, or placed there, because there was no room for Him in the inn. Think about that. The greatest gift ever given to man was placed in a feed trough. God allowed his son to be placed in a wooden trough where animals eat food. There was absolutely no place for him there in the inn, for Mary or for Joseph. It says the word manifested there, making God's love visible. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, it says this, the apostle John writes, he says, that which was from the beginning, meaning Jesus, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was what? There it is, manifested, meaning Jesus. And we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What is John saying? Listen, he's telling us right there, even though he's not intending to, but he's telling us this morning the true meaning of Christmas. What is the true meaning of Christmas? It's that God wants you to experience his love. There's so many Christians, I'm almost shocked. They don't think God loves them. They're still trying to add up. They're still trying to perform. They're still trying to earn their salvation. You can't earn your salvation. It's a free gift. You come, you confess Christ with your mouth, you believe in your heart, and God says you'll be saved. That's the meaning of Christmas. John says, listen, you don't understand. I touched him. I touched God. That's what he means in 1 John there. He says, I touched him. I knew the calluses on his hand. He was a carpenter. I laid my head upon his breast. In John chapter 13, I heard his own heartbeat. I knew the tonal inflection of his voice, the way he combed his hair. I knew his mannerisms. I knew the way he looked at people. I saw the way he prayed. I saw him heal the sick, heal the blind. I saw him feed the thousands, the multitudes. I saw him raise the dead. I experienced God in the flesh. Have you? Have you experienced? That's the whole meaning of Christmas. Have you experienced God? I'm talking about a life-changing experience where you become a new creation, where you're changed like that, where old things have passed away and all things become new. I'm talking about where the Holy Spirit comes upon you and in you and beside you, where you want to live for him, where the Bible is alive now and not a dead book to you anymore. John says, man, I experienced the risen Lord. I experienced God in the flesh. Manifest. It means made public for all to see. May I ask you a question this morning? The same that I ask in all the other two services as well. And I ask this, and I don't know if it's because God is challenging me to grow in a different way, or if it's I'm thinking, or maybe I'm digressing in my life, I don't know. But may I ask you a question? Do you have the right to hear God? You hear me? Do you have the right to hear from God? Do I have the right to hear from God? Does anyone in this world have the right to hear from God? I have the need to hear from God. Every person on this planet, they have a need. They need to hear from God. But the fact of the matter is, the answer would be no. I don't have a right to hear from God. You know why? Because I sinned against God in Adam, in the garden. Because I'm in the loins of Adam. We're born again now, but I'm saying we were in sin. Listen, whenever Adam and Eve walked out of that garden, what did God do? Or actually, God drove them out, sent them out. He put the flaming swords of fire, the cherubim standing there. You can't come back in. Imagine Adam and Eve looking back into a perfect paradise, a perfect world, and now they walked out, and the moment they stepped out of Eden, the moment they stepped out of that one foot out of Eden, it was a cursed world. That's what sin does. You know what's amazing? Is that you talk about grace. I mean, God could have said to Jesus, you know what? Crummy and dummy here, they blew it, man. Let's erase and start all over, and we'll just do it a different way. But God didn't. You know what God did? God, he had to send them out of the garden, yes. But God chose to go with them. That's grace. God was in love with them, and he chose to go with them. He killed the animals, he clothed them, and he used that as a blood sacrifice, the atonement for sin. Do we have a right to hear from God? Well, I'm an American, Bill. Americans have rights, by golly. I'll vote you out. Well, you can't vote God out. No, let me tell you something. The meaning of Christmas is this. God spoke. God spoke from heaven. And how did He speak? He spoke by His Son. The Hebrews says that Jesus Christ, in these last days, God spoke, how? By His Son. Listen, Jesus Christ is the last word to every generation. Jesus Christ is the last word to this planet. Either receive Him or reject Him. Isn't it amazing that God gave us a choice? But we have heard from heaven, and we've heard, and it came by a babe in a manger. And why was He manifested? He was manifested to do what? Our Lord. Isn't it amazing that Jesus was born to die, and you and I are born to live? Doesn't that blow you away? He was born for one reason, to take the sin of the world. He was the perfect, sinless, spotless Lamb of God. John says this in 1 John 3:5, and you know that He was manifested, there's that word again, made public to what? To take away our sins, and in Him there was no sin. What is the meaning of Christmas? The meaning of Christmas is this, is that a man can be rescued and changed. You have a Savior and something else. You have a Savior who is willing to die for your sin, to take away your guilt, your shame, and your past, and cover it in the blood of Jesus and place it in the eternal sea of forgetfulness. You opened any presents like that under your tree lately? That's a gift only heaven could give. And that is the meaning of Christmas. It says in Matthew 1:21, and Mary shall bring forth a son, and you shall call His name Jesus. For He shall what? Save His people from their sins. I thank God that Jesus has saved us from our sins. Men reject the Lord. They mock Him. They despise the holy name of Jesus. They want nothing to do with Him. But Jesus came not to condemn those in the world, but to save. And I thank God for that. But look what God did. Look, it says, in this the love of God was manifested toward us, that what did God do? Look at this now. That God has sent His only begotten, His unique Son, into the world. Don't miss that word sent there. Listen, I don't know if you know this. I know that moms do. Dads probably don't. But babies are not sent. You understand? Now, I know that when we grow up, we feel that they have come from another planet. But that's not the case. When it says that God sent, that means that Jesus has always existed. In other words, God sent His Son from where? From heaven to the earth. Think about that for a minute. We are so familiar with the Christmas story that we forgot what the true incarnation is. When God and man united, that's unbelievable. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Amen? That's what it's all about. That's the incarnation. He assumed our nature. Moms and dads, listen to me. Let me ask you a question. Would you send your only son to some distant galaxy and this little planet full of people who don't care, people who hate you? A place, would you send your child and say, listen, I'm going to send you to a place where it's full of murder, it's full of rape, it's full of war, it's full of hate, it's full of envy, it's full of covetousness, and it's full of selfishness, lovers of self. We created them, but they don't love us. And I'm going to send you down there, son. Will you go down there and die for them? Oh, will you be born? Will you lay aside your deity, your glory, just for a moment? And will you become one of them? All right, I'll do it. Would you send your son off to do that?
Pastor Bill completes this message on tomorrow's program, and we hope you can tune in once again. Now, the hustle and the bustle of the season is upon us. But in the quiet of Christmas Eve, there is a special invitation waiting for you. At Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, we're celebrating the birth of Christ, the light that shines in the darkness. On this Christmas Eve, December 24th, 2025, we invite you and your family to join us for a special communion service. We'll celebrate the season with worship, communion, and a message from Pastor Bill. Service times are at 2 p.m. and 4 p.m. And for more information, kindly visit our website at ccfortworth.org. That's ccfortworth.org. Merry Christmas, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.